Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, new iPhone. Sorry, what?
Yeah, a little bit of foreshadowing right there. John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, new iPad Pro. This is the one I've been waiting for. Yay.
I wonder what you guys are going to want to talk about today.
Well, first, we have the 10 minutes of interpretive dance I have to do because John was right and he won the bet.
Yeah. Oh, what was that? I forgot the bet already.
That's going to make riveting podcasting, isn't it?
It is. I'm so glad that this is a video show. Oh, wait.
Wait.
What was the bet?
I'm just being facetious, John.
Oh, okay.
Because 10 minutes of interpretive dance on an audio podcast struck me as funny.
Well, I've won a few lately. I thought maybe I won another one.
Well, only sort of in that you were absolutely convinced it was going to happen. And I said I did not believe it was going to happen until Tim walked on stage and pulled one out of a manila envelope. And that's basically what happened.
Isn't that a beautiful tablet? I mean, it's just big and beautiful and fast. And I love the focus they did on the astronomy theme. Oh, it's just amazing.
I loved how everything was space, and that did make me very happy. I did notice when they were talking about watching movies, it appeared, because we don't know yet, of course, because mere mortals have not seen it, but it looked like all of the movie clips and the stills of the video and stuff were all from The Martian, the Matt Damon movie that's coming out soon that I'm very excited to see because I read the book.
I read the book cover to cover, and I can't wait either.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the movie, too. I'm also really surprisingly excited for the iPad Pro. Like,
see,
watching it as they were showing everything off, I'm sitting here running commentary for our Twitter live stream, and I'm typing, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And I was really surprised at how inappropriately excited I got for the iPad Pro.
I had the same feeling. And Kelly mentioned in the chat room during this presentation that it might even drag me back to digital magazines.
Well, you said that was your hurdle, was that the experience of the screen that is smaller than the printed page is making it a substandard experience for you, which is why I thought as soon as I saw this, this was the first thing I thought you would want. Now, my question is, I have a couple of questions about the new one. So it's a 12.9-inch screen, which is essentially the screen that I have on my current model. Like, if you walk into a store and buy a 13-inch Retina machine, that's the one I have. Mm-hmm. I have the current model. And it's basically like snapping that monitor off and carrying it around with you. And that seems like, when I sit here and stare lovingly, mind you, at my laptop, that seems like a big old thing to haul around by itself. Now, I said the same thing about the phone and that about the 6 and the 6 Plus a year ago, and that really didn't seem to stop anybody. But, I mean, obviously. But to me, that seems like a huge thing to a huge piece of hardware to carry around with you.
Yes. Okay. I'm stopping us right here for a second because we got so excited we just jumped right in. I'm going to give people a little bit of backstory.
Okay.
Apple had their media event, the Hey Siri, Give Us a Hint media event this morning. And one of the things that they announced was a 12.9-inch iPad Pro. So when I watched everything they did, I was like, oh, Apple did exactly what I said they wouldn't do, and they made a Microsoft Surface, but it runs iOS. I mean, seriously, that's what it looks like, except with iOS instead of the weird hybrid Windows operating system thing that you get on the Surface tablet. I mean, it even has the keyboard cover with the built-in stand that, I mean, it looks like a Microsoft Surface keyboard, and now you can get a stylus for it as well. And I looked at all that, I'm like, huh. Microsoft Surface. And at the same time, I'm like, holy crap. I can't imagine everything I'm going to be able to do with this iPad.
Well, Jeff, remember the original Surface tablets were not very good until the Surface 3 and the Surface 3 Pro. Then Microsoft got really rolling and they were very impressive. So I think Apple had to respond.
They did, and I like the way they responded, because instead of making the keyboard a necessary component that you have to buy as an accessory, they made the keyboard as a really nice accessory if you need a keyboard.
Right. That's kind of what we thought was going to happen.
I really didn't think they were going to do the keyboard thing.
Like I
the
absolutely did not see accessories coming, particularly those two accessories.
Well, what calibrated my thinking was is that Apple, as I mentioned yesterday in my article, probably sat down and said, why isn't the iPad taking off? What are the hurdles? What are the stoppers? What do we need to do to make this thing grow and become a full-fledged product? And I think that the stylus and the keyboard and the iOS 9 overlapping screen and split screen is just part of the process of the maturity of the product. And so I don't see them clinging to the past or even responding to Microsoft. I think they're just saying, we got to make this product appeal to more people in more ways.
Well, when Adobe came on stage and started showing off what I'm going to call InDesign Lite, for lack of a better term, they started showing off a page layout application that's for the iPad Pro. They're showing like really serious photo retouching.
Holy cow, that was an amazing bit of demo.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was the most compelling part of the iPad Pro demo, because I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, Apple just laid down the gauntlet and they turned a tablet into a full-on graphic design studio. Now, I'm saying that today, but I haven't been able to play with an iPad Pro, nor have I been able to play with Adobe's apps on the iPad Pro. So it may not be nearly as impressive as I'm thinking, but if it is, I mean, this is a really big deal.
Oh, yes. And one of the things I was wondering about was whether this kind of philosophy is going to cross the entire product line. And that's an interesting question, because, you know, you're constrained by the size. So there's certain things you can't do on the smaller models. And so this kind of bifurcates or trifurcates the product line. And I'm thinking, you know, that's okay.
Well, if Apple's cannibalizing MacBook and MacBook Air sales, they're cannibalizing them with iPad Pros.
Absolutely. And that was my other question about the iPad was, first of all, like, that's such a huge piece of tech, really? And then my second question was, what does this mean for the entry-level iPad or MacBook Air? Because it seems like if you really wanted that machine, you would just buy an iPad.
Well, it depends on what applications you need to run.
Yeah. Right. But if you're looking at an 11-inch iPad, 11-inch MacBook Air, I keep saying iPad. I've got iPad on the brain. If you're looking at an 11-inch MacBook Air because you need something ultra-portable with good battery life, and, I mean, it certainly has a nicer screen because the MacBook Air line is not Retina. So this would have a better screen, possibly be faster to process certain things. And if you have a keyboard and it's an actual width keyboard, because, like I said, I have a 13-inch machine. I've got a little bit of space on either side. It looks like it would probably be a full-size keyboard.
And Apple did say full-size keyboard on the screen.
Mm-hmm. So if you have the room for that full-size keyboard, then it seems like this machine is the MacBook Air. I mean, when you get down to it.
Yeah, but I don't think Apple is trying to either merge or is trying to consciously cannibalize. I see Apple carrying on two streams simultaneously and letting customers choose what they need. And so while there might be some cannibalization right now because of people's specific needs and interests, I see both lines continuing on for people who want OS X or want iOS 9.
But if you want OS X, you can have the new MacBook or you can get a Pro. And if that's what you need for your use case, mm-hmm. then there you are, because the MacBook Pro, the 13-inch MacBook Pro, no longer has an optical drive, so it is dramatically lighter. I know that because I have the previous model, which did have the optical drive. And even now, every once in a while, I pick up my machine and go somewhere, and I'm like, wow, this thing weighs nothing compared to what I used to have that was the same size computer, more or less. So I feel like if you are now a person who is looking for a portable computing solution and you do not have necessarily a specific need. I don't do a lot of high-end video editing. I don't do a lot of high-end photo editing. Like, as long as you're not doing anything at like a pro level, you know, for the most part, and I'm painting with very broad strokes here. It seems like the iPad Pro is suddenly a very compelling option to you because of all of the other things that it can do for you as a super portable device. You don't need the keyboard. You can ditch it. Yep. You know, if you just want to sit and read for a while, then there you go. And so I think what's happening here is that only that Apple is probably going to cannibalize its MacBook Air sales, but it is only doing so in the short term because I think the Air is going to go away. And I think that if you want that super lightweight, when you are talking about backpacking gear, you talk about ultralight. And that's what this is to me. If you want an ultralight computing solution, then what you go with is the Pro, the iPad Pro. And if you need some, if you need that keyboard, if you need a little better processing power, if you need the trackpad for some reason or USB, then this is the kind of stuff that I think you end up doing is you go to the Pro, which is still a lean and mean solution, you know, but it really, I think it's going to depend on your use case. And I think John, you nailed it earlier when you said Apple is continuing to evolve and grow as their market evolves and grows. And I think that this is the next evolution of the MacBook Air.
We'll okay. see what kind of sales we have.
We have more to talk about. So,
so
my reaction to the iPad Pro is I surprisingly covet this. I want it, and I want the Apple Pens, the stylus to along with it.
Yes.
I want this thing. John, how about you?
Definitely.
that was more of a rhetorical question. Yes, Kelly, how about you?
I think John needed revived during the keynote when they announced that. Awesome. I absolutely want to get my hands on one. I don't know. I don't know if it's something that I need yet, but I definitely want to take it on a second date.
I totally get that. Okay. Now, we'll be talking, just so everyone knows, we will be talking more about all of Apple's announcements on Apple Context Machine. Brian and I will be recording soon for that. So if you don't get enough of what you want to hear about reactions to Apple's media event, don't worry. We're going to take care of that fix for you. We have more content coming. But before we hop into the next thing that we're going to talk about on Daily Observations, I wanted to tell everyone that our sponsor this week is Downcast, the podcasting app for iOS, Apple Watch, and the Mac. And it's a really great homogenized platform for managing and listening to all of your shows. And what I think is so cool is that not only am I singing its praises, but you guys are too. I love that you've been chiming in and letting me and Downcast know on Twitter how much you love the app. You guys rock. Thank you for doing that, because not only does that validate my feeling that this is a cool application, but it lets the Downcast people know that that the Daily Observations listeners love the product. So thank you for doing that. And if more people want to hop on Twitter and let the Downcast crew know that they're loving the app, please do that, because like I said, you guys rock. Anyhow, you can go check it out by hopping to the link downcast.fm/TDO, and that's going to route you into Apple's App Store. Use that link, because even though you can just like fire up iTunes or the App Store app and go to the app, when you use this link, it lets the Downcast people know that Daily Observations listeners are really interested in the app. So that helps everyone out. Go hit that URL. You can download the app. It's only $2.99. It's totally worth it. And I just love that it's an app designed with people that love listening to podcasts in mind. I love that you can start on one device and pick up on the next and just keep going. It's a wonderful thing. So go check it out. Downcast. You can hit the URL downcast.fm/TDO. Thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor today. Okay, so now the question is, do I let Kelly gloat and John stress over the new Apple TV, or do we just hop in and talk about iPhone 6S and 6S Plus? Kelly, go ahead and gloat. Oh, no. We lost Kelly for a minute. All right. Well, then... Kelly, are you back?
I am.
Okay, go ahead and gloat about Apple TV, but do it quickly because I want to talk about the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus too.
I'm going to have to go half gloat on this because the word HomeKit was not uttered once in today's presentation, which is the whole reason I wanted the new Apple TV in the first place. So I'm hoping all that stuff is there. We just didn't get a chance to talk about it. But I got a new Apple TV. I got one. And I'm super, super excited to get my grubby little paws on one. And I cannot wait to see that universal search, which is something that Dave Hamilton and I have both discussed briefly as TiVo owners, we think is just fantastic. Which is the thing where instead of having to search in Netflix and in Hulu and in iTunes and instead of doing that, not only can you search one time and have it say, yes, as a matter of fact, you can get that on iTunes, you can watch it on Netflix, you can watch it on Hulu, but they also have Siri doing this. So not only do you only have to search once with a dramatically better remote control than the one that you have now, I might add, it looks like anyway. But additionally, you can just ask Siri on the Apple TV, how can I watch Game of Thrones? And it will show you like, oh, well, I have HBO Go, so I can see it on HBO Go. And like Jeff, for example, may only see it available on iTunes, and I will see it in all the places that I have available to me. And I find that terribly exciting because search is one of the things that I've had that I think is the least comfortable in the Apple TV experience because I have an Apple TV that's still functional. A lot of people have complained about theirs being laggy or slow or constantly buffering, and I haven't had any of those problems. So for me, it's really just about the user experience. And so having the universal search available and not having to basically go to a website and look on a website for like, how can I watch this particular television program is much nicer to me. I think it's interesting that they come with storage. I think they are reasonably priced with storage. I think what's fascinating is that the current for right now edition of Apple TV, the one that they dropped to $69, is still in the lineup and it's still $69. So I wonder if that's going to have some sort of like relay capability where like maybe some of the features of the new one are available as a conduit. So like maybe you could play a game on another TV in your house as long as you have an old Apple TV hooked up to that one.
I doubt you'll be able to use it for gaming at all.
But like as an example, like maybe there's something... Maybe there is something like that you could do where they would
services still.
Right. Like me. Yeah. Well, the original, the previous edition, current till today, Apple TV, will probably continue to function just like it always has. The difference is that what I may get to do is move the Apple TV that I have now to a different television and then put a new one on the big screen TV so that I can play awesome games on the big screen TV instead of on one of the slightly less big screens in my house.
Okay, so Kelly, it sounds like you are going to get a new Apple TV.
I'm trying my very best. I have already sent the batting eyelash emoji to Mr. Kelly along with pricing to see what I can do to convince him that this is a thing that needs to happen. So when we're done here, I need to go make a pineapple upside down cake.
Good call. Good call. Okay, John, now how do you feel about the new Apple TV?
I think from what was presented, it makes a very compelling case. It's a nice product. Apple's put a lot of thought into this. And I also noticed, and I talked about this yesterday in my article, that this business about universal search is actually a Trojan horse for eliminating the device switching concept. You know, right now I have a Blu-ray player and a DVR and an Apple TV, and you have to switch back and forth between these sources. But if you're not into collecting plastic discs and you're trying to cut the cord from your satellite or cable provider, the Apple TV does that for you by universal search, and you don't have to think about it anymore about switching sources. So it's really kind of a backdoor first effort approach to solving the problem of multiple source inputs. So that pleased me greatly. And I also like the user interface features, and it's well thought out, and it's a really nice device. And I'll just have to get one. I'm disappointed that it doesn't support UHD, but you know, the demos they gave, it's primetime content. Everything right now is in HD, so it's a player for its times.
I was curious what you're going to think about no 4K support, especially
the utter lack of 4K.
the new iPhone, the 6S and 6S Plus, do capture 4K video.
Yes, interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk about that more tomorrow, because we are so out of time. And I really wanted to talk about the new iPhones as well, but we're just going to have to do that tomorrow. John, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Kelly, thank you for being here. I'm glad you got to do your happy dance.
You're more than welcome.
And listeners, thank you for being here and for supporting Downcast, because they're a pretty cool sponsor. Head over to downcast.fm/TDO and you can link right into the App Store from there. Pick up your copy of Downcast for $2.99. It's totally worth it, because it's a great way to manage and listen to all the shows that you like. And wow, we blasted through our time today, so we'll just have to pick up again tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We'll see you all again on Thursday.